And that's our band, Booth Band! And our third co-host, Pete LePage, is unfortunately still laid up with a drunk basketballing injury.
It's a Pete drought on the show. It's the longest you've ever been gone.
It's awful.
It's weird. I miss him. I forget what he looked like. I trace his face before I go to sleep.
He's very tall. Yep. He's like
beautiful.
He's a gorgeous
stunning.
Guy.
He's really nice.
Yeah, he's like a bodybuilder, I think. Yeah, and he loves everything.
Bare chested.
That's absolutely right.
Bare
chested. Yep. Yes, he's here.
Let him live on in our memory.
I remember.
He's a bear for a chest.
So we have a lot of stuff that we're going to do in this show, you guys. We have comic book reviews. I'm very excited about that. Later in the show.
For those of you who haven't been following us, we're just going to go through it right from the beginning. We're going to review some comics.
Well, I'm pretty excited because we're going to be talking about all of The Walking Dead.
Yep.
This TV series.
All of it.
Every single last bit of it.
Yep.
I had an idea earlier today for a TV show. It's called The Winking Dead.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm losing interest.
These zombies, and they're like, ugh.
What's right? Their secret?
Well, no, it's terrifying because you're like, it feels like they're in on something with you, but they're, so you don't know what it is.
You get closer to them, and then...
Yeah, and they're like...
And then you fire all the writers?
Yeah, there you go.
Good move. Nice.
Justin, you too soon.
Good move.
Yeah, they fired all the writers out of a cannon, you know?
Nice.
Great.
That'll confuse him.
Cool. All right, let's get off of this beginning banter and get into the show and welcome out... What?
Nothing.
Okay. Let's welcome out our guest for tonight. We're very excited to have him here. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Spencer! Yay!
Hello.
Very exciting.
Look at this. Coffee today.
Justin's having a great day. We're having a great day because we're very excited to have you here. So, Nick, thanks for coming. Very funny. Let's chat a little bit. You have a lot of stuff going on. Just to run it down, you are writing Morning Glories for Image.
Yep.
You're doing Action Comics for DC, Thunder Agents for DC, Iron Man 2.0 for Marvel.
Sorry.
And I'm sure I'm missing a couple in there.
The Infinite Vacation at Image and Thief of Thieves. Also at Image Skybound.
Cool. So what else do you do besides comic book writing?
Mostly it's writing and eating these days.
Are there any words you're not using? That you're like, I got to get to like Skybox.
It's a well thumbed through thesaurus at this point. But right now, writing pretty much dominates everything. I do also own a hostel over in Brooklyn. Is my other gig, which ends.
You own a hostel?
Yeah.
And it ends?
That was my day gig for years before I got into writing comics. Holy shit.
You must have some stories.
I have a few. I'm saving them up.
Tell one of them.
excellent interview.
Wait up.
Owning a hostel in Brooklyn? There are like four hostels.
Well,
in
I mean,
New
I guess
York
I don't know. It's like, how true to life was the movie Hostel?
Yep.
Hopefully not very. But like I said, there's still a month to go, so we'll see how that last week.
Yeah.
Changes.
Well, okay. So, craziest guest who came to stay at the hostel?
I'm gonna guess Malcolm Jamal Warner.
You know, we once had a really crazy group of Australian guys who would have a habit of starting to drink around noon or so one time, one of the guys did manage to urinate all over our TV at one point.
Were you watching Australian football?
I feel like earlier in the day we had been, yeah. Which I can't.
There's your mistake.
I can't make any sense out of that sport to begin with.
No,
but you know they say it's like a high contact sport with no pads, but every time I watch it just looks like a bunch of idiots running around.
They do a lot of running. Have you guys ever seen Australian football?
No.
It's sort of like rugby and American football, but at certain points they pick up the ball like this and go. Bing! And just like that's how instead of passing.
Yeah.
Oh, they're goofs.
Whistles constantly.
Yeah.
Whistles constantly.
God, I literally have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's a sport from a
nope,
nation.
You lost me.
Oh, okay. Sport.
Sport.
Well, the more I rip on it, the more I'm going to lose all my readership in Melbourne and Sydney.
So yeah, there's like, someone in the back peeing on your bag right now. It's Pete LePage.
he
prefers that role on the show.
We call him Longstream LePage. He's doing it for home. Very exciting.
Pete's streaming from home, just like our viewers.
Just like our live stream. that everybody is watching on. Let's talk about comic books some more.
Now,
first of all,
I'm just gonna do hostile stories for like an
hour. I had no idea. What a crazy! I want to hear more about that.
Yeah,
I want to talk about the comics. Is that all right?
Okay. He's only doing that for another month. He's going to be writing comics forever.
Cool. Let's talk about hostels for the next hour, and then we'll have you back on in a couple of years to talk about comics.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, good. So, to the outside observer, it seems like you've been an overnight success. You popped out of nowhere writing every comic. But as everybody knows, with an overnight success story, it's not really overnight. So how long have you been working at this, and how long has the road been to get to this point where you're writing nonstop comics?
I kind of decided to kind of chase the dream full time about 3.5 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it took about a year and a half of working on pitches and talking to editors and just trying to improve my craft as a writer over time. Then my first book with Image got picked up in July of last year, I think it was. So it has been a pretty quick trajectory since then. But, you know, yeah, there was a long time of working to get better as a writer and then just to get your stuff noticed in the first place before all that happened. But, you know, the industry has changed so much over the last few years as sort of internet coverage and everything has sort of exploded. Where guys aren't necessarily spending 10, 15 years doing indie work or anything before they get noticed by Marvel and DC, because now when you're doing a book at a smaller publisher, it has an opportunity to get noticed by the editors at Marvel and DC a lot faster, because there's so much more press coverage and media coverage of the books. So things are definitely moving faster now. I'm certainly not the first guy to benefit from that, but... yeah, so in a sense it's been a while, and in a sense it has been a little overnight, so I can never quite figure out how to quantify all that stuff.
How do you keep track of all those keys? Do you have like a board? Do you put them on? What's the deal?
You know what? We got a deposit system, man.
So smart.
You gotta get us $10 and you're not getting it back.
That's right, that's so smart, and then it's an investment. Yeah.
So other than that, I kept it a little bag. It's not a lot of organization to it.
See, it's a heads up thing.
Interesting. And talk a little bit about bridging the aisle here in comic books.
I think every other question should be. Maybe we can just.
That's clearly happening.
So, but talk a little bit about bridging the aisle. You know, you're working at Marvel, you're working at DC, you're working at Image.
Yeah.
Do you walk in to Marvel and they're like,
yeah. Hey, Joe, you old idiot.
You know, every once in a while it can be slightly awkward, but most of the time, you know, all of those guys know each other is something that I think a lot of people forget, that they hang out a lot together and that they talk business and talk shop between and amongst each other a lot to begin with. The only places where it can get a little tricky is when you have a significant workload at both companies. They don't know. They can't know your schedules because you can't say, "Oh, I'm working on this." Because
it's like having a wife and a mistress.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Oh, I almost had you there.
You should watch Lone Star. There are only like 2 episodes, but really good. Yeah, 2 wives.
That's you. Yep.
No, Lone Star.
Yeah, no, blonde. One was blonde. One was dark hair.
Right here.
That's how you keep them different.
Yep.
That's how you don't.
So who's the mistress?
No, you know...
Of the comic book.
Well, yeah, no.
No, of the comic book.
We don't want to make you choose, but which one is better?
Yeah.
right. You know, in all honesty, it's a boring answer, but I really have had a blast working with both companies. It is an opportunity that not a lot of guys get. A lot of times, they sort of make a connection at one company and focus all their energy there. So it's been fun for me to kind of see how... they're different and how they're the same and learn a lot from both. I'm having a good time sort of splitting my time between them.
Cool. Let's talk about your individual stuff a little bit. Morning Glories, we've really been enjoying.
Huge fans of the book.
Yeah, awesome. Great. You probably get to ask this all the time, but how much of a plan do you have for the book? How much is it teasing out the mysteries versus answering things?
Yeah, when's the sort of critical mass when we're going to start to...
Well, we have basically a 75-issue plan on the book, so...
So not that many issues.
Yeah. I mean, it's so you're a long way away from sort of what maybe we would call those critical mass moments. But at the same time, I think you know, we work really hard to make sure that each arc is rewarding on its own level, and the ride to the destination is as much fun as getting there. There is certainly a plan. I mean, I know exactly how the book ends, and I know what each of those sort of hint moments mean. I get asked about it a lot, but for me, to not know that would be sort of terrifying. It would be a much harder book to write if I didn't know what was coming. So we know where it's going. We know how long it'll take us to get there. We generally have all the arcs mapped out and everything. We know where the major story beats are. So.
And you're currently focusing on 6 or 7 students at an incoming class.
Yeah.
How many of them are going to be around for the entire 75-issue run?
Offensive question.
I'm sorry.
Focus. Stay focused.
Do you serve meals at the hostel?
Free breakfast.
Of course, it's a hostel.
We get
breakfast.
I don't know. I have only seen the movie Hostel.
We've never stayed in a hostel.
Let's go tonight.
We'll stay.
It's
your
real
place.
Sexy at night, and then the next morning, everything looks
a
little weird, and they're chopping
your
eyeballs out.
Where haven't you found people having sex in your hostel?
Oh, I don't know that there's anywhere that hasn't been covered.
Thank you. It's a hostel.
Right.
That's why you stay in one.
Right.
I once got in an argument because I used a pan to cook meat in it, and this vegan was like, I'm using that next week. I was like, well, I don't know, man. This pan has had meat in it before.
That's really advanced.
Of it.
That's advanced planning for a vegan.
It's because it's supposed to be cleaned at a certain hour.
Yeah, it's all about coexisting with a large number of people.
That's great. Do you have any questions about comic books?
Let's see. Do you have any, like, on coffee tables in the hostel?
Great
reading material.
A lot of the guests always kind of know what I'm doing, like, during the day and everything. And so I get asked all the time to take a look at the work. And,
oh, really?
Wow.
That's been kind of fun. It's
a merging of worlds.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Cool. You ever have any Australians pee on your scripts?
Not yet, but, you know, we're getting into Australian travel season, and we still got a month to go, so who knows?
Great.
Yeah.
Great. All right.
They come loaded, those Australians.
Pete had something to say.
Oh, good.
Because Pete's watching on a live stream.
Oh, he'll be helpful.
he said, wow, that meat story was great, Justin.
Thank you, Pete.
Actually, I'll ask a question for Pete, our co-host, who isn't here. His ridiculous problem with Morning Glory so far is that all of the kids are upstairs, and right below them, there's a girl who's being tortured, and his objection is like, why don't they just run down and get her?
I think that the latest issue, that issue 4, was sort of about, you know, their decision to go and
rescue. Yeah, they actually did what Pete wanted them to.
right. I mean, one of the questions that we get asked about a lot is sort of, a lot of people will say, boy, they seem to be handling some of this stuff well, or they wouldn't, if a bunch of people tried to drown you, wouldn't you just lose your mind? Like, and I just keep thinking, well, what exactly would you do? You don't. They don't. These kids don't have any other options. It's not like they can call the police or run out the door or anything. So they're just stuck. And your reaction to that kind of situation is going to be very different from, you know, something horrible happening to you in your home, where you can, you know, just dial up authorities or get help somewhere. They're very much stuck in that situation, and they're very much trapped there. The other thing that I always think about that is there's a lot coming over, especially over the second arc, which starts in issue 7, that's going to sort of dive back into the Glory's lives before they arrived at the school. There's going to be a lot of flashbacks to before their arrival, and you're going to find out a lot about why some of these things may not be entirely unexpected or entirely out of the norm for at least some of these kids.
Let's talk about Action Comics a little bit. It must be sort of a blast to be able to write Jimmy Olsen, because it's almost carte blanche to write whatever crazy thing you want, but you've been doing a good job at the same time of keeping it grounded. What's your approach there?
You know, I really got excited about the opportunity to write Jimmy because he's sort of been hanging in the background. Really, I would almost argue since sort of Crisis and since sort of the John Byrne revamp, and you know that was obviously a very long time ago. And I think that what a lot of people had lost sight of with Jimmy is that he's supposed to embody fun in comics.
That's what I was just gonna say. Yeah. Like everyone tries to make him darker or like. The James Robinson, which was fine stuff, but he's like on a motorcycle, like solving superhero crimes and stuff, and it's like, he's just sort of a shutterbug.
Right.
With a bow tie.
A lot of it can be, you know, an interesting take. I mean, I like James' story. I liked a lot of the stories that had been done, but for me, I always, when I look at taking on a character that sort of has, you know, an established sort of decades old history. I try to look at what the core essence of that character is. You know, that if you had to boil that character down to a sentence, what would that sentence be? You know, and I think that for Jimmy, he's just sort of the embodiment of fun in comics, and so that's sort of the mission statement that I come into it with every month. And it's a blast to write about a normal guy in that universe. And I try to not lose sight of that Jimmy is not extraordinary in the sense that we're used to seeing in comic books. But what he does excel at is sort of living his life in the moment and sort of seizing every opportunity that he comes across. You know, hopefully we've done a good job of sort of capturing that energy and that enthusiasm that Jimmy should have. And, no, it's been a real blast to get to play around with the character.
Yeah, and what's happening with that now that DC is taking away the backup stories?
Yeah, we're going to collect all of the stories into a one-shot that will have the three parts that won't run in action. So oh, cool. If you have been picking up Action, you'll get it all in one book now, and you'll get the three parts that didn't get released there, and if you haven't been picking up Action, now you can just go and pick up this one book and you've got everything.
Cool. And are we going to see any more Jimmy Olsen after that?
I don't know.
Oh, you're killing him at the end.
Right, yeah. Of course.
Forever.
Right. It's fun till the end.
Yeah.
He's dead.
The core essence is a man who dies
of
fun.
Right. It's a twist nobody will see coming. But I don't know. I would love to keep working on the character. I have a lot of fun writing him, but we'll see. So,
cool. All right. We are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
First thing we're going to talk about, totally coincidentally, is Action Comics Annual number 13, not including a Jimmy Olsen backup.
Oof.
But actually, sorry, it must be a real stinger for you, huh?
You know, I love reading Paul's stuff, so this is a blast.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, sure.
Two stories about a young Lex Luthor. One, he's working for Darkseid, and the other one, he's working for Ra's al Ghul, both of which I'm sure I pronounced totally correctly. So what did you
think? I mean, this guy's into fun, too, this Lex Luthor. Goes, and Darkseid kills a guy in front of him, and Lex is like, I don't care, and Darkseid is like, we're going to be good friends, I guess. And then they go off and have an adventure. But I really like both the stories here. They're really fun, smart, nice, dense stories.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. And the art is really good in both of these, too. Definitely almost painterly, in a way, in the opening story. Nice stuff. I really like both of them. I love Paul Cornell's take on Lex Luthor. It's so consistent throughout how he comes at him as not, I'm a crazy, power-hungry guy in a power suit or anything like that. But he's just arrogant, but his arrogance gets proved.
Yeah, I like he shows up in Metropolis and gets the most expensive suite in the hotel there. I imagine the hostel must have really identified with him. And then he's like, he doesn't have any money to pay for it. He's like, well, I'm going to earn my second night. And then he goes and works in Darkseid's workshop for like 3 years, which I thought was a crazy twist as well.
Yeah. The other thing that's very nice about these is they both play as stories, almost parables or fables, mainly because we find out that Lex Luthor is telling both of these stories as part of his, I don't know, story personal time. Mythology. Yes, his personal story time. Thank you, Booth.
Anybody else think it's weird that he's always in bed with that Lois Lane doll? That's pretty weird, right?
Literally nobody thinks that's weird.
No?
No, why would that be weird?
We all sleep with dolls and women.
Oh, sorry. It's like a Twilight Zone episode. My bad.
Ugly.
Yeah, no, oh, no one on this earth has sex with women or men.
Yeah. This is, in this universe, there was a movie called Lars of the Real Not Girl.
What? The movies you reference, like 10 people have seen in there. It's amazing. It's stunning.
Thank you.
No, I'm no insult. Yeah, I'm just saying that would play. They're out there. Find them.
All right, we're gonna move on. Talk about Wolverine.
So normal then? Sure. All right.
Wolverine, the best there is, number one of one. That's not true, but basically a bunch of crazy stuff happens to Wolverine. You want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, man. This guy has gone through a lot. Just keeps on coming. He's at a rave here for a while. He's wearing a tuxedo shirt.
He fights a guy made out of rats who has a very, very hairy groin.
Yep. Yeah. Unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary.
I don't know. It's sort of all over the place. There's some sort of interesting ideas here. The end, the last bit where he's at the rave, he gets drugged and sort of freaks out, which is sort of interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's just sort of...
It doesn't coalesce into anything. This title has been ripped a lot on the internet this week. There's been some awful, awful reviews of it. And I think that's kind of undeserving, particularly Jose Van Rip's art is insanely... Is that his name?
Yes, but it's yours. It's like, the story's been ripped. Jose Van Rip. Drew it.
Wow.
Come on, I'm amazing at transition.
No, yeah, great. Way to set it up and knock it down.
Thanks. His art's insanely detailed. There's some crazy visuals in here. So just based on that, I think it's worth at least a glance, if not a pickup. Yeah. And like you said, there's some crazy stuff in here. It almost reads like a parody of a Wolverine book. You have Wolverine cutting women's hair at a rave with his club.
I thought that was fun, though. That was a fun bit.
I agree. Yeah. And I think too many people read this book and they're like, oh, Wolverine would never do that because he's hardcore and intense. Yeah. But I think that's why Charlie Hughes...
Edward Scissorhand cuts people's hair all the time, and they're like the same guy.
He's not hardcore.
You did not see the cut of Edward Scissorhands that I saw.
Guys, Pete said Wolverine sucked.
Wow.
And he said it hurts to say that. And he said, not my Wolverine.
Cool.
Like, great. My president.
Thanks for chiming in, Pete. Yep. Appreciate it.
You should get a speaker that just has his voice.
Not my Wolverine. Yep. That's how he talks, right? I think. Cool.
Essentially.
All right. Would you say pick this one up?
No.
Great. Brightest Day, number 15, for those of you who haven't been paying attention, which, I don't know.
Does anyone read it?
Anybody reading Brightest Day?
Skip it.
Don't be shy.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
But that's sort of a comment on your feelings on the book.
It's been a little all over the place. It's been following a lot of fractured story points that hopefully are going to come together at some point. But right now, we spend most of this issue focusing on Martian Manhunter, who is trapped in a dreamscape, which is trying to convince him to bring Mars back or something like that.
Well, this other green Martian, who he's been alone in the universe forever, except for the lady Martian girl from the Teen Titans.
Right, but, and all the white Martians.
Yeah. So she shows up and she's evil, but then she tricks him into thinking that she's his wife. And so then all this.
How do you do that?
They're both telepathic and stuff.
Yeah,
so
tricks.
She traps him in a mind where he gets his fondest wishes and then.
It's how
well,
I trapped you here. Like, you could leave anytime, but I've hypnotized you.
Really?
Yep.
Like, now?
See how he's not doing it?
Yeah, I know.
Good hypnotism.
That's some solid hypnotism. This is better than the other ones because it's sort of one story, but it's really overwritten. There are so many words.
Yeah. Here's my personal problem. I never like it when people stand around talking about how powerful they are.
Yeah.
And Superman and Martian Manhunter do that in this issue. They're like, well, we're the most powerful members of the JLA. Nobody should mess with us. Would we? I don't think people do that in real life, do they? Like, I don't stand around and be like, I eat really well. I'm really good at eating.
That's true. That's not a power. so much.
Well,
maybe if you were like exceptionally good at it.
Well, do we stand around talking about how strong we are? We're very strong.
I would never do that. We could stand around and talk about how we know a lot of useless information.
Yeah.
And we do that all the time.
Oh, right, we have a show about that.
We're doing it right now.
Oh, okay. All right, fair point. I love this issue.
Yeah, did you really?
No.
But
it does make me want a Martian Manhunter series. It's crazy to me that you don't just go back to the basics of Martian Manhunter, because the idea of this alien pretending to be an Earth detective and just ground-level investigating mysteries is so great. And the idea that he's, you know, Superman level and flies around and resurrecting Martians is fine, but the initial idea, everybody loves that so much. I don't understand. Yeah. Whenever you talk to anybody about Martian Manhunter, they're like, that's the thing I like about him. Why there isn't a series like that?
I feel like people are afraid to go back and do like a noir, something so noir-y like that.
Yeah.
With a big mainstream character.
I guess. All right, let's move on and talk about Shadowland. Number 5 of 5, tying up the Shadowland saga in the Marvel Universe. For those of you who haven't paying attention, Daredevil built a ninja castle in the middle of New York and then turned out to be a demon, and now everybody is fighting him.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Once a friend of yours does something like that, you gotta know something weird's up.
Yeah, that's why Pete's home.
Yeah.
Because he built a ninja castle.
I don't know. This is just sort of predictable.
Cool.
It's just like, yeah, he's got a demon in him, and then Kingpin comes out and says, that was a demon, I'm in charge now, and I invented a fourth personality for Typhoid Mary. Tip of the hat.
I will say that there's some nice visuals in here. I think Andy Diggle does a nice job writing this character-wise. Yeah. But in terms of the plot points, it is a lot of what most end of crossovers, for better or for worse, are. It's very rapidly tying up loose ends and then setting up status quo for everything that's going on. And I prefer a book where I can read the book and everything happens to that book.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to read that book and be like, cool, now I have to read 5 other books. That's always frustrating to me.
Yeah. They've got you on the hook. Bullseye died at the end of this also.
Yeah.
He dies all the time. That guy.
Yeah. Also, they look at his shriveled corpse. Like, he has a little shriveled corpse, and they're like, well, at least he's still dead.
Yeah.
And he's like...
Yeah, they even say, everyone else came back alive. Not this guy.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. And he's going to come back. Everyone loves him.
Everybody.
Huh?
Bullseye fans? You guys? Yeah, Bullseye fans. Nice. All right, let's move on and talk about one of the aftermaths of Shadowland, Heroes for Hire. Number 1. Now, there's been a bunch of different heroes for hires in the Marvel Universe. This particular take is Misty Knight is basically the Oracle of the Marvel Universe, calling on the street-level heroes to help her solve crime. What do you guys think about this?
I like this a lot. It's really smart, really nice. The twist at the end's a little weird. I was surprised by that. I don't know if we want to spoil it.
Probably not.
Okay.
Have you read this, Nick?
I did. I'm a big DNA guy, so it was fun to see them get to take on some of the street level characters. I love the lineup that they picked for this. It seems like it's going to be really fun. It's going to obviously develop with the twist. You know, I think just sort of stay tuned on it.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be. I was really surprised. It's just such a weird turn, not negative. Just very interesting.
Yeah, I loved it actually. I thought the twist at the end was great. It definitely came out of left field, but. It was so surprising and so exciting, and I had enjoyed the issue so much up until then. One thing we were talking about is I felt like in the Marvel Universe, team-ups aren't exciting anymore. Yeah. You know, you expect characters to be like, oh, you're all in New York, so you all end up together. And even these characters hang out together most of the time, but they figured out a way through the writing that it still feels exciting.
Yeah, it was
sort
great.
Sort of having Falcon come upon... all right, never mind.
No, I agree with you. He's like, hey, Black Widow, let's do this. And she's like, watch out. Oh, she's dead. She's dead. Oh, God. And then she pops back up. He's like, hi, really?
It's a lot of fun if you haven't picked up this issue.
Yeah.
Definitely pick it up. All right, let's move on and talk about Razzle, number 9. Sporadically published by Jeff Smith, author of Bone. You're a big Jeff Smith fan.
Yes,
I am.
You
want to talk about this a little bit?
It's great. Everybody reading this out there?
Yes.
When it comes out? No. It's really good. It's about A ton of stuff. It's like, I was saying, it's like a bunch of different Twilight Zone episodes sort of mashed together in a nice way. Following, you really love the main, really feel for the main character. He travels to a dimension where this, like, deaf and dumb person is God, supposedly. And it all sounds pretty crazy, but it's great. It's just the tiniest little treat that you get once every 3 months or so.
Yeah. Have you been reading this thing?
Of course. It is one of my favorites. I'm just an absolute genius. So.
Yeah, I agree. It is totally frustrating for me, particularly with this issue, which is a lot of walking around in the desert and not a lot else going on. It almost makes me want to just wait and just read this in trades.
Oh, like in 35 years?
That's the problem, is that I'd rather read it every 2 or 3 months rather than wait 5 years between.
Well, you have so much time, you can go back and just keep rereading them.
Oh, good. Yeah, I have a lot of free time.
I know.
Cool.
You, like, will work at home, sleep, mostly sleeping.
I'm basically sleeping 19 hours of the day, and then I work on my eating 3 hours of the day because I'm really good at it.
Oh, here we go again.
All right, let's move on.
Another long time trying about how great you are at eating.
I'm very good at it, you guys. Last but not least, Taskmaster number 4 of 4 from Fred Van Lente. In this series, it turns out that Taskmaster, the entire time, spoiler, has been working for the good guys. He's, in fact, been working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and fighting for the good guys, but every time he creates a memory, every time his power, in case you don't know, is imitating other heroes. So when he takes a power from another hero, when he imitates it, like, let's say I was copying you and your knowledge about hostels, then I might forget what a good eater I was.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So he's found out a lot of stuff. There's been a lot of revelations throughout the series. What have you thought about this?
I think it's great. It's really just getting into the details of this sort of weird power and making it so much more interesting. It's really smart. But also, it's so crazy and fun. There was a village full of Hitlers and all that. It's
This issue, there's a henchman, basically a henchman army that I think, I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but they're called MILF. And they're led by Red Shirt, the Uber henchman, which is great. It's very funny.
Yeah, this book is criminally overlooked. It's been a real blast. Fred is in
it. And he leaves it in such a sweet place at the end, with the character being just sort of sad, but the great relationship with his wife. It's really just a great series.
Yeah, if you didn't pick it up, this is one of my favorite miniseries of the year, so definitely do. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah!
All right. We are going to move on to the next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman.
I can grab the comics back from your neck if you want. Thank you.
That's what the whispering.
I didn't want anybody to know that I was grabbing the comics back
from your neck. Secrets
on the TV magic.
Yeah. The camera went over to Boothman so they didn't see us. We did that.
I make sure the camera only looks at me.
It's amazing. Pull your socks up.
Let's get some questions. And if it's your first time on the show, Boothman lives in the booth. There you go.
Which is why I look like I do. How would Jimmy Olsen do at Morning Glory Academy?
Tough question.
You know, I don't think that Jimmy would last long. I'm not going to lie. You know, Jimmy is an enterprising guy, but I think he would maybe be a little bit out of his element. But you know, if you call for the right backup, things would change pretty dramatically.
Do you have a comics book?
Yes, in the back.
Cool, nice. All right, the camera's gonna go over to Boothman. We're gonna pause for a second, and then we're gonna retake this part. Okay. So everybody, how's everybody doing tonight? It was pretty cold out there, right? Colder than the Scarlet Witch's teeth. All right.
What did you say about this?
Okay, wait. At 5, 4, 3. Wow, that's so interesting, Nick. So raise your hand if you asked that. Justin has some free comics for you.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's get the next question.
Nick, if you had a choice, would you rather have your image books come out as just trades, or still do singles then collect them as trades?
You know, I like singles. You know, I'm just kind of a traditionalist that way. I still like the feel of sort of seeing the monthly book on the shelf and going into the shop and seeing it on new release day. So, and I think particularly with Morning Glories, I think it'll be a fun reading experience either way, but I compare it a little bit to, we make a lot of Lost comparisons with Morning Glories, and I always felt bad for the people that would watch Lost on DVD, because they just didn't get that thrill of sort of ending at a cliffhanger and having to wait a week to see the next one, and you know, with Morning Glories, that's a big part of the book, is the sort of last page reveals every month, and I think being able to just immediately flip the page and not have to wait that month, I think it takes a little bit away from the experience. So I think Morning Glories is a book that's really well suited for a month of release.
If you want, on the trade, you could have like a little lock between each issue.
Right, right.
It's like, don't open till January.
Right, like an advent calendar or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. Justin's going to bring you for some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Favorite Jimmy Olsen story? Jimmy Olsen questions.
Wow, weird.
I'm a big sucker for the very first Lucy Lane story, because Lucy, for those that don't read like Silver Age Jimmy Olsen, Lucy has to be the most abusive girlfriend in the history of comics. She really puts Jimmy through the ringer a lot, and the funny thing about the first story is you can see, like, even if you know that most Silver Age comics were written thinking that the reader was about 9 years old or something, but I feel like as a 9-year-old boy I could have figured out that this relationship was doomed. And I think that's probably my favorite. The one where Jimmy has his brain swapped into Bonzo the intelligent gorilla is also very solid 15 pages.
Justin, do you have any favorite Oof. Jimmy Olsen?
That's tough. I mean, I haven't read too much of those older stories. I really like the last issue that you did, though, the one where he's trying to keep the aliens from partying on Earth. Primo stuff.
Cool.
And then the one where he has the watch.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you asked that. Justin's going to bring you some free comics. We have another question there? All right, let's do it.
Name your favorite flavor of Hulk, even if it doesn't already or currently exist, and then if there's a like a bubble around the question and a picture of a cat. So a cat asks this question.
Oh, okay.
So meow, meow, meow.
All right, fair point, fair point. I don't know, fish flavored? Is that...
Yeah.
I'm just trying to answer whatever a cat would want.
Oh, yeah. No, it was asked by a cat for a human.
Oh, okay. That was confusing.
Yeah, that was a confusing whisker, Mr. Whisker.
All right, so Justin, favorite type of Hulk?
Flavor.
I mean, I really like the Pantheon stuff from back in Peter David's day.
So super intelligent Bruce Banner, kind of on the verge of being angry Hulk.
Yeah, well, and I like people throughout that run kept being like, man, you haven't been Bruce in a long time. That's sort of problematic, right? And he'd be like, nah, I'm fine. But so it was like there was still that psychological sort of ground where you don't know what's happening. But then there's also all the great adventures and all the characters. It was really my favorite iteration.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually the start of that run, the start of David's Pantheon stuff when they're in the hospital and Doc Samson hypnotizes him and goes into his head, that's probably my favorite Hulk issue that I've ever read. I like the era just before that a lot too, the Grey Hulk stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of miss Grey Hulk. It would be nice to see the whole Mr. Fix-It thing again.
Yeah. Man, it's hard. There are a lot of really, really good Hulk runs. One first thing that came to mind was probably the Crossroads Hulk, just when Doctor Strange banished him there, and he was just so quiet. That's the thing that was so nice about it. I mean, he still smashed stuff, but just wandering from world to world and just quietly. I always remember these panels of like him eating these alien fruits and just sitting there.
Just food. Just,
I'm sorry, I'm really hungry.
But see, you're just like, you're like a hungry new father. Like, I just love the Hulk when he was quiet, sleeping, and just eating. And I was in another room. Yeah.
I was able to, like,
I was reading.
Just relax, yeah. Maybe watch a movie.
Yeah. Maybe go see a movie.
Yeah, that was great. Those issues of Hulk where I could go watch a movie.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Justin is going to bring us free comics. That's it for your audience questions. All right. We are now going to move it on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo! Yeah! Okay.
Kicked it. First and only thing we're going to talk about, Walking Dead on television concluded its season on Sunday with boffo ratings, drawing 6 million viewers, the largest in basic cable history, and a lot of people between the ages of 18 and 49, which is basically everybody.
Wow. Interesting.
I mean, who cares about anybody above that or below that?
You have a daughter outside of that demographic.
Yeah, well, she's not allowed to watch The Walking Dead.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, we watched a little Stargate Universe the other day, and she got scared.
Yeah, well, it's because of the poor writing.
She is a critic.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think? I know you haven't watched the last episode, so we'll avoid spoilers for that. But just in terms of the span of the whole season, how do you think it turned out? How do you think it compared to the comic book?
I really liked all the episodes. I didn't even think, like, everyone was sort of down on the second episode. I thought it was great. Fifth episode, all the way through that, the attack on the camp and everything. This episode, I was like, come on! Like, it was just so, I don't want to go too far. But it became so, like, boring, I don't know, boring or, like, expected or just, like, yeah, goofy. It was even goofy at times.
How do you feel about it, Nick?
I've been so impressed with this show. Particularly, I think everybody's sort of said it by now, but that has to be one of the best on pilots I've ever seen. And I'm like you, I like the second episode a lot.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it. And the Kirkman episode was fantastic. It's been just a really fun ride. As a comic book writer, they took so many moments so faithfully and yet built them out, and it was just so interesting to me to watch some of those scenes get decompressed and how sort of, you know, three panels became 5 minutes and
yeah.
I found that there was a lot to learn just from watching that and to see the way that it's continued to find an audience in this weird way that kind of parallels the way that the comic did, where, you know, the comic just kept snowballing in terms of the number of readers and the number of popularity. So to see the same thing happen with the TV series, which is so uncommon to see a show kind of grow in the ratings over time, I think it's just a testament to the strength of that story. I mean, it's something that just really resonates with people on a pretty fundamental level, I think.
I was really surprised with how far off the comic they went.
They went real far off.
Yeah, which I give them credit for doing. That's a bold move, especially starting so faithful and going so far.
It'll be interesting to watch in the long run because I feel like there's still a lot of touchstones that they can hit. There's plot points they can go towards. There's things they can do with the characters. But there are other things that already they will not be able to do. Things that they will not be able to hit necessarily in the same way. I mean, I'll use a specific example from the second episode. This is, I guess, a spoiler from a long ago for the comic as well. But with, what's his name, Merle Dixon getting his hand cut off, I really don't think you can do the same thing with Rick. You've already had that moment of, oh my God, somebody's had their hand cut off. To do that again would be repetitive. So that's kind of a big moment of the comics that I don't think you can necessarily repeat.
And, well, it makes it like, I don't like that about the comic, that he has missing a hand.
Yeah?
Like, why? Because he needs that hand. He's got a lot to do. He's got a lot going on, and he's already down one hand.
Gotta hold the bread when you make the sandwiches.
Wow. No, are you on the clock right now, or what's the deal? Yeah. Is these your 3 hours of sandwich time? I wish they didn't line up.
That's what I told my every up. Tuesday night, I tell my wife, I gotta go get a sandwich, I'll be right back. And she's like, okay, as long as you're not doing that horrible show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. So this show is your mistress.
Married. This has darker hair.
Yeah.
I have to say I was pretty disappointed with the last episode. And the thing that disappointed me the most about it was missing the acting moments. I've realized I've almost want opposite things from the comic and from the TV show. From the TV show, the things that have really stood out to me are the moments with the actors, where they're just talking to each other, they're just living. And I want to see more of that. I want to see more of these survival aspects. I feel like most episodes have had this thing where, like, and here's a big action thing we need to do, because it's an action show. Like, we got to go to Atlanta and blast people, or we got to do whatever they did in this last episode. As opposed to in the comic, there's a lot of that, but I guess 70 issues in, I'm like, okay, let's do some stuff, you guys. You've talked about this a lot. And I love the character moments still. There's some great moments there, but I like the comic better when it's doing things and when things are happening. It's a little more exciting that way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would like them in the second season to just concentrate on here is the reality of us in this world and we're living and here's what happens, personally.
Yeah. And no more where they're like, yes, the very air around us will burn. Because that was pretty lame.
Also, somebody's got to tell Dale to calm down with his eyeballs.
Yeah.
Because every time they cut to him, he's like...
That's the big acting moments you were just asking for.
Pretty much. I want a little more of that. Yeah. Everybody.
Everybody should be smiling. Well, it's a surprising world. The dead are walking. You should always be like...
And the dead are all like...
I really don't know about that. I really don't know.
It's gonna work.
That's yeah.
It's my money maker.
It's I mean the idea is fine. Just the seeing you wink so much is freaking me out because your face sets in this weird way that I don't enjoy. See, now you're doing Dale. Now you're not in control of your own face. What does everyone think about them firing the writing staff?
Except that they reportedly didn't is now what Damage Control has come out and said.
Oh.
Literally Damage Control.
I don't trust Damage Control so much. Well, I mean, they what I read was they eliminated staff. They're going to bring people back in sort of freelance, but not...
Yeah, and then Robert Kirkman, Gail Ann Hurd, and Frank Darabont were like, ah, that's not true. What happened was that the guy, the showrunner that Frank Darabont was working with, actually left to pursue other projects because he was originally told it was a miniseries or something like that, and then when they got picked up, and we're going to immediately start working on other stuff. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Biggest smash on cable, nah.
Better, no thanks.
Better get back to that BBC doc I was ghostwriting.
Who do you trust?
Yeah.
Everybody or two people?
Oh, really makes you think.
Yeah.
No, you know, I know a lot of TV writers, and a lot of this stuff is not terribly uncommon, no matter exactly how the situation is playing out, which I certainly don't know, but... turnover on these kinds of assignments is pretty high, and you know, these kinds of decisions don't usually come out of the blue. And it was a little interesting to see how this story seemed to catch on so big when it happens with a lot of shows, and nobody seems to catch it or seem to notice it. So it was a little interesting to see this get picked up by the media the way that it did. And but for most of the folks that I've talked to, it just doesn't seem to be all that out of the ordinary or anything like that. And nothing exactly seems to be set in stone on this. You know, these shows, you know, go on their hiatuses for a while and everything, and a lot of things get sorted out. So I think maybe folks aren't even entirely sure exactly what's happening on the inside there.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's a mystery.
Yeah. For next season.
Where are the writers?
Don't tell anybody. All right, we're going to take this one again. 5, 4. Okay, and that's it for the week in Geek.
Wow.
Good. Real good. Yeah, very meta. All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Justin Tyler.
Taking over for trivia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show where you can win this gift card for Midtown Comics, which is worth $25. And all you have to do is come on down here and answer 3 questions. And to do that, you have to raise your hand. So, like, whoops. Please raise your hand if you'd like to win.
So easy.
$3. They're very easy, the questions. Don't be shy. How about you?
Yeah.
See, I pointed to him anyway.
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Jeremy, audience, Jeremy, stand right there.
Hey!
All right, I have three questions about the oeuvre of our guests, Mr. Spencer. Boothman, may I have the music, please?
Whoa. You didn't even explain how it works.
It's people know how quizzes work. Question number one. In an interview with Newsarama, Nick compared James Rhodes' War Machine to which chick-lit character? Is it A, Bridget Jones from those diaries she wrote? B, that girl from Sex and the City, the one with the red hair, she's sort of mean? Or C, She-Hulk, she sort of counts, right?
I'm gonna say C.
No, that's incorrect. You want to guess again?
I want to guess again?
Yeah.
Where's the first option?
Bridget Jones.
I'm gonna go with the first one.
Yeah, it's correct!
Right.
We have Jared Pete and I have very different styles.
Just help him.
Morning Glories, no. That's what happened. You ever see the Dump Movie Quiz Show? Morning Glories, one of my favorite books, has been called Runaways Meets Lost.
Suck up.
Honestly, what was the deal with that last season of Lost? A.
I'm gonna kill you.
It was bullshit.
Shut up.
B. The whole thing took place in a snow globe on God's mantle. Or C. Don't get me started on Battlestar.
A.
A's correct!
Oh, no, it's not.
What?
Well, it's not correct.
You want to do this now? You want to do this now?
No, go on with the quiz and then we'll do this.
What about Vincent?
Huh?
What about Vincent?
Yeah. Alex is a fan of Lost for some reason. That's not the question. I'm a fan as well. It's just the last season.
Shut up!
Nick's Jimmy Olsen backup in Action Comics features what popular character, female character from television? Is it A, Chloe Sullivan from Smallville? B, Marilyn Chambers from late night television? Or is it C, Babs Bunny from Tiny Toon Adventures? It's correct!
Yeah.
Nailed that gift card.
Nice. Well, I got two questions wrong. First one and the second one.
He answered that question correctly.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow
Vanna White never comes up to Pat Sajak.
Maybe she should.
And to be like, this question is stupid.
Maybe she should. Maybe the show would be better if she did.
Yeah. Pete said Justin sucks at this.
LOL? Great, Pete.
Was he really laughing out loud, though?
Is that what that means?
It means lol.
It means let's order linguine.
Much better answer than what I had.
Great.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Justin, I'll tell you what you're looking forward to.
Oh, good.
You're looking forward to Fables 100.
Oh, you're right, I am!
Yay!
That's going to be great. Double size. It's going to be a giant issue. It's like, there's 100 pages.
It's 100 pages long.
Yeah.
There's a front story, which is going to be a huge story. There's a backup story.
It's a big battle against Mr. Dark.
Yeah, every artist that has ever worked on the book, there's a game that you can play, apparently a game board that you can fold out, and you can play a Fables game in it. So it's going to be an awesome package. I cannot wait to pick it up as well.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's double size, so double the pick. Nick, what are you looking forward to?
The second Sweet Tooth collection is out tomorrow. Really want to pick that up. That is one of my favorite books every month. A book from Image Shadowland that comes out tomorrow that a lot of people have been talking about is 27. I think you should grab. I actually got a chance to see that when it was a pitch at C2E2, and it got picked up by Image. It's a really, really fun story. Charles Soule is a good writer. And then another book that might not be on people's radars that they should pick up is Captain America: The Korvac Saga. Mm. That is written by a guy named Ben McCool, who does Choker with Ben Temple Smith.
Yeah, we had him on the show, and he was just getting ready to do it.
Fantastic guy and a great writer, and I bet that would be a really fun pickup.
Yeah.
Okay. And plug some of your stuff. What should people be checking out?
Let's see. Thunder Agents number 2 is out this tomorrow, and we really think that it's the best issue of the first arc. We're all really, really proud of this one. I'm really excited to see it. It's got art by Kafu, who's a regular artist, but also 10 pages by Chris Cross. And then
the rappers,
of course. They perform Miss the Bus like halfway through the issue. And on the 23rd of December, Morning Glories 5 comes out, which is 32 pages, an extra size kind of finale to the first arc. You know, everything kind of comes to a head there. And then I believe on that same day, the latest issue of Action Comics is out with my final Action Comics installment of the Jimmy Olsen Co-Legion.
Cool. Plug some of your favorite rooms in the hostel as well.
We've only got three, man. So
three rooms? No wonder everyone's having sex.
We're pretty small. So
three rooms. Yeah.
That is hostile. That's our show.
Guys, a couple of things before we go. Check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub, also on newsarama.com. Also, this is one of our last two shows for a little while. We're going to be doing another show next week. Guests TBA, though it's going to be awesome. I didn't write them down. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a bunch. It's our 4-year anniversary.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So we're going to have our 4-year anniversary, and then as you heard, the theater is moving, and while it moves, we're going to go on a brief hiatus. When we come back in probably late January, early February, whenever they finish building the theater, the show is going to be free.
What?
Which is exciting.
And there's gonna be a bar.
Back for tonight.
Huh?
Yeah. Well.
Jeez.
Man.
Jeez. Well, I really got you. Don't worry. You don't have to do what he says.
Don't touch me, lost. Whatever.
What he says. When do you like that mess?
Shut up. It was perfect.
The laser cave? You still have
it
not...
It was a metaphorical laser
for
cave.
For what? What's the metaphor?
It was a metaphor for... I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a metaphor for photon holes. Guys, a couple of people we want to thank.
Nothing to say to that.
We want to thank Nick for being on the show.
Boothman!
We want to thank everybody watching on our live stream, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for one more Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends, good night!
Please tell your friends who are in town.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.